ಗಣನಾಂ ತ್ವಾ ಗಣಪತಿಗುಂ ಹವಾಮಹೇ ಕವಿಂ ಕವೀನಾಂ ಉಪಮಶ್ರವಸ್ತಮಂ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠರಾಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಸ್ಪತ ಆನ ಶೃಣ್ವನ್ ಋತಿಭಿಃ ಸೇದ ಸಾದನಂ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಗಣಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ. ಓಂ ಸಿಟ್ ಕಂಫರ್ಟಬ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್. I want to be attentive, so I'm sitting nice and straight, tall. I relax my body. And I can take a few long and deep breaths. So this Upanishad that we've been looking into for the last few months . The question that kindled the whole discussion, a very unique question, because I see things, I hear things, I do activities, I think, I have feelings, and I just go along with this. I just go through life with this, and it's really just on the surface once we look into what's being discussed. So the student asked the master there with amazement, "This is amazing, I see, but this is just some flesh and bones. How can I be seeing?" And I can hear, how is it that this is possible? And I think and I feel, so what is it that is making all these things possible? I know it's not my own volition. Hearing happens whether I have volition or not. Thinking happens. So in different ways, the master points this out. First of all, since you can't point directly to the self, says, yes, what you're looking for is the eye of the eye. Chakshushaha chakshuhu. The mind of the mind. Like the ear of the ear. Shrotrasya shrotram. Without it, the ear can't hear, the eye can't see. But like the electricity doesn't have the quality of light or the quality of the spinning of the fan. But without the electricity behind these, they won't function. So you, the conscious being, without you, there would be no seeing. There would be no hearing or thinking. But those functions aren't of the self. In the light of my awareness, the hearing happens. But the quality of hearing doesn't belong to the self. By the light of the awareness, the thinking happens. But the thinking isn't the function of the self. Then the mind is going to want to grasp onto this self. I want to know it, hold on to it in my mind. Knowing it means finding some attribute, labeling it, and then storing it somewhere in the mind. But then the teacher explains it's not of the known. It's not of the unknown. These belong to the realm of the mind, knowing and not knowing. Because the self itself is self-evident. It's the thing which is behind the mind. It can't be grasped by the mind. Also, the teacher points out that as spiritual seekers, we're seeking something. Usually something out there. I look for the God with some attributes. God as the other. So it says what you're looking for is because of which you see. You cannot see it, because of which you can see. This is where this Brahman is found. Not in worshipping something as the other or something with attributes. Because of this consciousness, you can hear, you can think, you can act. Or because of this consciousness, the thinking can happen. The hearing can happen. The activity can happen. This is where you'll find what you're looking for, the unlimited, but not through some limited perception, conception, or experience. This is all very good, but then how do I find this Brahman? So for this, the teacher says, Pratibodha viditam matam. Any conception, any perception, you, the consciousness, are there just behind it. The moment I see because I'm conscious, I'm the awareness behind it. It shows me I'm aware. It shows me I'm conscious. Feeling bubbles up in the mind. The fact the feeling is there, it points to the consciousness. Look, you feel, you're conscious, you're aware. So instead of having the tension go out to the form of the pointers, one needs to learn how to use these pointers to point back to the self. What difference does it make what sound is there? The fact that I hear shows me that I'm conscious. What difference does it make what state the mind is in? The fact that there's thought shows me, points to the fact that I'm the conscious being. So the Upanishad this way points out how to use these pointers to point back to the self instead of going out to the world. And the fact that I'm the conscious being, this doesn't depend on the pointer, what points to it. Whether the hearing is there or not, I, the conscious being, am there. Whether thinking is happening or not, I, the conscious being, am there. Unconditionally, I'm the conscious being. Unconditionally, so it's untouched by everything else, by the hearing, seeing, thinking, touching, everything else. So from the perspective of the conscious being, they're as good as appearances. Since they depend on my being a conscious being, but the conscious being doesn't depend on them. First, I can see it like the wave in the water. The wave depends on the water. The water's there, regardless whether the wave is in there or not, and it's manifest in and through the wave. And later, I can see it as the rope and the snake. Even though I know it's a rope now, I can still say it looks like a snake. Very nice. But I know it's not a snake, it just appears that way. So even though I see, I hear, etc., I know it's just the manifestation, the consciousness, which isn't really changing, which isn't really multiple. So I start this process with viveka, seeing the difference between the consciousness behind the experiences and the experiences, meaning thinking, hearing, touching, seeing, tasting, smelling. And with some vairagya, understanding that all these different experiences will pass. What is there to hold on to? My mind keeps running out to things. The world keeps going on, ups and downs. The story keeps going on until when? So I might as well look in a different direction. And as the inquiry based on viveka vairagya happens, then slowly the mityatvam, the apparentness of the world becomes more and more clear, you could say. So I start from the duality, and by continuing with viveka, then becomes just the oneness, becomes clearer and clearer.
Mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramato balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahma upanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranam astva nirakaranam mestu tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmas Te mahi santu, te mahi santu. Om shanti, shanti, shanti.
So last week, we saw that we saw two important mantras in the conclusion section. First one was making clear as a preparation for the next one that knowledge, that for self-knowledge, for knowledge of the self, atma-jnanam, only jnanam is needed. It's not that you need that and something else. Because anything else depends on the individual, this depends on negating the individual. So you can't be putting both of them together, that was being pointed out. So what was taught, that's for Atma-jnanam. Now what happens, of course, is if the preparation isn't fully there, if the instrument is ready for it, then yes, other things are important. That's why, yes, we don't drop other sadhanas. It's important. You continue other practices, especially, you know, karma yoga, you continue other things like this, that they're helpful, but understand those are for setting the stage. They're not for looking into it. Kind of like science is the experiment you look into. Yes, you need the right environment, you need the right tools in this, but the experiment, that's what you're looking into, right? That could be done in different place, in different way, set up in different way, but then the experiment itself is science. This is what you're looking into. That's the law of nature. It's not that the law of nature is once like this, once like that. So what you are is what you are, finished. So it's understanding. So that was one mantra, which was pointing this out and saying, yes, what has been taught here, that's Atmajnana. Then afterwards, also the next mantra talked about, yes, so there are qualities one should develop because they're very helpful about it. Unlikely that I will know the self because the preparation is important. And it highlighted a few of them, which was saying satyam, truthfulness, meaning sincerity, was highlighting as this is extremely important. That's why I was highlighting that. And one point about the qualities is also like this. It was giving the illustration like the different legs of the table. So when you have the table, if you hold on to one leg and you pull it, the other legs don't stay there. The other legs come along too, right? It's not that one leg will come. Maybe if you have some rickety table or something, it's about to break. But if it's a stable table, it's going to all come. So if you really develop some quality, as you develop it, other ones naturally will come too. There's no way they won't. So that's why, you know, yes, we focus on the qualities, but if you take some important quality like this, like it talked about tapaha, austerity, right, in the right sense here, in the which ones it had, let's see, it had tase tapaha damaha, control of senses or control of mind going with it, karma, doing everything as karma yoga in the right way as what's needed. Anything, any virtue I will develop, other ones will come along with it. So this is an important thing. That, yes, we should develop many good qualities as a preparation. And also that way kind of like we're getting away from the limited idea of myself, more open-minded, right? More disciplined, more loving, more all these things. Meaning the self is manifesting more through me, like this. And you'll see different people manifest differently, right? It's not that there's, because the reflection will be different, but the same is reflected, the reflection is more clear. So they help for the self to manifest like this, you could say. So this is what we looked at last time. So we have one mantra left here, let's look at it today. So it's number 9 here.
Yova etamevam.
Yova etamevam.
Veda pahatya.
Veda pahatya.
Papmanam.
Papmanam.
Anante swarge.
Anante swarge.
Loke jyeye.
Loke jyeye.
Pratitishtati.
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 One who understands this Upanishad in this manner destroys sin and gets established in the highest limitless Brahman. And repeats that twice. Pratitishtati, pratitishtati. Nowadays you have a book and you have the chapters and labels and comma and end. They write the end nicely at all the times. All that wasn't there. So this repetition means this is the end. That it repeats it twice. Because you have to have some way, right? So there's a modern way, there's the older way. And many generations will be a different way because the medium will be different too. So like this. This is what it is. So yo, whosoever, yaha, it becomes yo with the grammar, which don't worry about unless you're interested in Sanskrit, samskritam. So yaha, whosoever, whoever will, anybody, whoever, human, because could be another conscious being that has developed mind like us, so that for them it would be the same, but we're dealing with humans. So for anybody, one teacher just was listening to said very nicely, says, in this way, in order to do the inquiry, is if I have the three states, right, waking, dreaming, deep sleep, I'm aware of them, meaning, yes, I can do my inquiry, I can know Brahman, because I have the proper tools for it. We said the scientific experiment before. You have the proper environment, you can do the experiment. You have the proper environment for it. You're aware of the waking, the dreaming, deep sleep. There's the whole, in this course we didn't speak about too much in this, but other classes we have and others will surely come up, the avastatra viveka. You're the one through the waking, you're the one through the dreaming, you're the one through the deep sleep. So whatever is different between them is just isn't you, because that changed, but you're the thread that's in and through all of them. So whatever is just in one but not the other, that's not you. So then you have the mind, you have these, you can inquire and you can know the self. So whosoever, like this, anybody can. You know, it takes preparation, takes a lot of insight to do, a lot of commitment, but anybody can look into it. Rarely, absolutely, there's no doubt about it. It's not like, it's kind of like, again, we go back to the scientific experiment example came up, so we'll keep stretching it. If you do it properly, it'll come out the same, right? It's not that if you do the experiment now, but you're doing it in a different place and a different time and this, with a different, slight different environment, but the same exact experiment, it'll come out the same. It's not that it's going to come out different, right? Because otherwise it's not going to be scientific. It's the same way. Verily, this is how it is. It's not questionable in this way. So, etam, these teachings, the first two chapters, right? Which we just did tried to take the whole Upanishad into some small meditation today. So these teachings, who Veda, who knows it, not just stuffing in the mind and, you know, putting my notebook. I have very many full notebooks here. I have a lot of them, and here for this class I prepare, highlighted. The notebook knows very well, right? Or I have a few concepts that I have to really know, I have to look and understand, right? I understand that driving safely, right? If I drive safely and carefully, I keep my eye out, I don't, pick up the phone while I'm doing it, all these things. I know it's safe. I know it. But I don't do it. And then I almost hit somebody and I feel so bad. Then I hopefully learn the lesson that way, not in a worse way. So who knows it but really knows, meaning really looked into and understood it. Because it takes a lot to look into it, right? A lot to throw out my other ideas. Because the thing is, we hear good ideas, but how much do we adopt them like this? I hear a good idea, but then what? So the thing is here, something really to look into. It's amazing. Again, like, it's amazing I'm alive, I'm aware of this, amazing. Right? Where is it coming from? Why? So it's amazing, but then we have to really want to look into and sincerely look into it. Otherwise, yep, it'll be a nice, interesting thing. It'll be another thing like this. So I know I've studied some science, I know some arts, right? I know certain things, and I know some Vedanta too, and now I'll know more things. I'll know some astrology, I know some puja, I know some who knows what else. It's not like that, because this is not of the same category. That's why in the previous Upanishad we'd studied at paravidya and aparavidya. Aparavidya about everything else, but this is a different category altogether. So to know really means one has to really look into it. There's no other way. And again, we said it's available, but I have to do the vichara, I have to inquire. So the Upanishad shows us how to inquire, but then I have to inquire. Nobody can inquire for you, right? We hear the things, I listen to them. By listening, I decided to listen. And the words are there, I'm following the words that are what it's pointing to, right? Like this. And And then I look into it. I've question comes up. I look into it. I ask. I some other pointer given. I look into it. I have to do it. Nobody else can do it for me. I remember my guru. He used to say like this. Swami Sivananda, he used to sing, serve, love, give, purify, meditate, realize. He would sing many things. So that became like a slogan, Sivananda Ashrams, they sing it. So my guru used to say, serve me, love me, serve, love, give. Give your money to me, I'll meditate for you. So, yes, my guru will do the inquiry for me and bless me and I'll know. The blessing isn't going to, you know. If you're open, yes, the blessing is there. One disciple came to Swami Vivekananda and told him, please bless me. And he said, the winds of blessings are always there. You just need to open your sail. So it's available. It's here, like this. So I have to sincerely look into it, like this. So, yeah, etam veda evam. Thus, well, what example do I have? Well, you want some example? We give a story too. So evam also in this way, as in the story, as you know, the thing came up, the yaksha appeared. What is that? You know, I'm aware. What is that that I'm aware? Right. So some notice it and just say, oh yeah, yeah. Yes, some people look into it. Some people are interested. At some point, when I retire, I'll look into it. Right. After I retire, okay, when the grandkids start going to school, I'll look into it, right? I just have some more projects, you know, then at that point, like this. So never look. So some go and look into a little, but it's not easy. And I have to look beyond, you know, do some inner house cleaning because it's getting in the way, and throw out some of my preconceived ideas. Oh, it's not as easy, so it's okay. I understand that, you know, oh, I'm... As an ego, I'm nothing compared to that, but I'm not ready to totally let go and look into it. But some have the patience, some rare ones, like Indra in this story, patiently stuck to it. Yes, I understand that all that I take myself to be, what is it? When I start looking into this, all that I take myself to be, what is it? As good as an appearance. Oh my God, you know, because literally it's death for the ego, all my identity. You know, you're still here, you know, even if somebody knows, they're still here, they're functioning. But the whole self-identity they had has to be crushed and thrown out because that's just a shadow. Oh, how can I do this? How can I look beyond that? But some are patient and stick to it, like we saw in the story that Indra did. Patient, stuck to it, looked at it, didn't drop his inquiry, looked into it, and until, yes, he came to Shravanam Uma was teaching him, and is also the Shruti, the Veda or Upanishad. So then he came to know like this. So this way, in this manner. So thus, one who knows, apahatya papmanam, for this one, papmanam is papa punya, sin and merit. All these get reduced to ashes. One will say, no, no, no. I want to get rid of my sin, but not my merit. So what happens is, when you have punya or papa, it means you have the result of karma. Result of karma means you have to go through something. So now, we have a question. Do you want to be imprisoned, bound? No, 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 I don't want to be imprisoned. Well, you have two choices here. You can be bound by, you know, rusty steel chains or by golden chains. You can be, it's true, house arrest, and you have a TV, and this is much nicer than some very, you know, very cold and damp prison where you don't have much room to move and all this. It's more comfortable, yes, but it's still prison. So punya and papa, results of karma, means I'm an individual and I'm going to go through that. And then that'll be over. And then what? So actually, if it's an even punya, I have a great thing. Oh, I'm having such, you know, great health and great time and many great things. all the good things are happening. Very good, but what'll happen when that's gone? When that ends, then also you suffer, right? So meaning here, it destroys both because it destroys the idea of the individual. In other texts, we discuss about the different kinds of karma. You have when one has self-knowledge, then what happens, samchita karma, all the storehouse of karma from all the lifetimes is gone because there's nobody to claim it. You're not an individual anymore to claim it. Like the example is given, is that there's somebody who has a lot of money in the bank, big savings, right? And so they have the savings, so you know they pull out $1,000 a month. Now they die. They don't have any relative anything. Who's going to claim the money? They're not going to claim the money anymore. They can't claim the money. So if I'm not individual anymore, what future life, what will I take for myself? There's no, like you wake up, there's no more dream. Why should I go to the next dream? So that's why all the accumulated karmas are gone, because there's no individual to identify to claim it. Then agami is the karma created right here and now. Right now we're doing something, so some karma is accumulating from what we're doing. And again, if I have some identification with the karma, yes, then there'll be some accumulation. But I know I'm akarta, I'm not doer, I'm the sakshi, I'm just the witnessing, the activity is happening. So how can the karma come to me? There's no me for the karma to come to. There's no individual doing it like this. That's what a jnani, they know they're not doing anything. The things happen, nature by nature they happen. So no agami is created. The third kind of karma is prarabdha, the karma for this lifetime. From one perspective, prarabdha started, so it's going to play out. You can't stop it. It's like once you throw something, it'll go through. You threw the thing, it'll have to go through the laws of physics, the motion will go for a certain distance, it'll fall, eventually momentum ends, it stops. So this lifetime will go through. So that didn't stop. But that's from our perspective when we see the jnani. From jnani's perspective, there's no prarabdha because it's not theirs. Because they know it's not theirs because they're not the individual. So there's something happening, it's nothing to do with them. The Swami Ramatirtha, great master, came to the US in the 1890s or beginning 1900. I think it must be his talks, I don't know if he actually wrote, but there's a series of books called In the Woods of God Realization of his, all in English, so you don't have to deal with any Sanskrit, any other language. I've read some, it's phenomenal. So he gave talks here in San Francisco way back then. So in any case, so he always referred to himself as Rama. He didn't say, I came today, Rama came today. he just came to here to the US. So he went, walked around, you know, nobody knew him, and this is, you know, 130 years ago or so. And then at that time, the culture here and was very different. A lot of other cultures here now weren't here there then. So he walked with it, however he was dressed, with dhoti probably, or whatever robes, probably turban or whatever. So he came, he would wear what he was wearing, that's what he was used to wearing. So when the host came home, they saw him laughing, the hosts. Why are you laughing? Oh, Rama went for a walk. And some young men saw how Rama was dressed and they were laughing. So Rama was laughing too. Now he got like a child. There's no individual to claim that. So the prarabdha, from our perspective, Ramatirtha, you know, he came to the West, he did this, and he went to Himalayas, left the body there, whatever. From his perspective, at some point, he's jnani, there's no individual. The moment you know you're the Atma, You're not the individual, so you didn't have previous life, future life. Those are all apparent. They're apparent just like anything else. That's why his book, In the Woods of God Realization, there are many trees, right? So many trees. Trees are trees. So all the bodies, they're the trees. So this is just another tree. It's a tree just like all the other trees. It's a tree. It's no different from the other trees. It's not that this tree is a me tree, that's a somebody else tree. No, it's just they're all trees. So the prarabdha also doesn't belong to the jnani because they know they're the consciousness. You're the awareness, the light of awareness. So within the light of awareness, sensation appears, it's not you. Thought appears, it's not you. So whatever, all that prarabdha appears, it's not you, it's not yours. So that's why papanam, all karma pala, positive, negative, everything to do with that, gone. It's all dropped. It doesn't exist for that person anymore in this way. Okay. Says here, destroys. Does it destroys? It's not yours anymore. As good as destroyed, like this. And then gets pratitishtati, gets established in what? In swarge. Somebody will say, you see, somebody goes to the heaven. Swarga is heaven, gets established in the heaven. I say, you see, this is what we're saying all the time. Do these worships, you get into the heaven, you see. That's what the karmi, the one who wants to do all the worship to get somewhere else, say. So you have to read very closely, right? Swarga loke, in the swarga loka, in that place, right? But what? Jaye, the highest place. Yeah, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka is the highest heaven. That's why they say seventh heaven. There's seven upper, seven lower. Brahmaloka or Satyaloka is the highest one. You'll get there. And Loka, actually, interesting. Loka, the word look comes from this. Experienced. Because any place you are, it's a sphere of experience. Right? Let's say you die, you go to some other place, you call it a heaven. It's a look, it's a sphere of experience. Meaning, you'll go to the heaven and you'll say, oh, it's wonderful, hey, but it's still drishya. I experience something. I'm the experiencer. The experience comes and goes, but the drik is one and the same. I worked so hard, I came here, it's the same thing, it's still drishya. I might as well know the drik now instead of going somewhere else and knowing it later, because the drishya will just come and go. So, jaya, highest, but anante, not limited, limitless. The moment it's experienced, it's not limitless. Any experience you have, that's not limitless. Right? You'll say, I meditated, I went to some samadhi, there was no time, no space, limitless. Really, you did. When that happened? Oh yes, last week I went to a retreat. For a long time I was in meditation like this. It's limitless, yes. But are you there now? No, the experience went away. It's not limitless, it ended in time. That's not the limitless. So the limitless can only be, as pointed out in the Upanishad, it's you, the conscious being. The moment you experience something, the fact that it's experienced means that's limited. You can only experience some quality. Quality means that it's change. Change means not limitless. So that's why that's what one is established in the Atma and Brahman, which is not limited. That's why it's called Brahman. Because Brahman isn't something. Brahman is something. Someday I will go and I will find the Brahman. Right? Brahman means limitless. Limitless, or then limitless, what is it? So that's why we say sat and chit. It's the consciousness and being, the substance of everything. And it's not other, when we look into it, not other than you. Because you take, as we were talking last time, you take the upadhi as yourself, the light reflected on it, you think it's limited by the body, but it's not. Within the light of awareness, you know the body. No, but my mind is worried. Within the consciousness, you're aware of the mind. So it's just reflected on those. So it's not that you have to throw them out. You understand that you're the one behind them. What's behind them is not limited. So that's the Brahman, so the Anantes, Swarge, Loke, Jaye, so the Anante jeye, the unlimited highest, Swargaloka, unlimited highest place, meaning can only be, meaning your very self like this, or the Brahman. So this is what the teachings are for, what it's pointed out, to be established in that. We're already that, as the teachings are, but we're not established, meaning we're, it's just not clear. There's some a little bit of confusion that I identify with something else. I still take the rope as something real, and by the snake, and by taking the snake, I don't see the rope. I have to look into it closely. Look, the moment I know it's a rope, the snake, the individual, right? The snake is, right, causes trouble for others. People are afraid of it, right? How much trouble I cause for others? How much trouble I cause for myself, like this, as the individual, right? So that's the snake. The rope is just, you know, what's it going to do? It can't do anything to anybody, right? So it's, in this way, that mistake is there, this mistake we make, okay? So, oops, where are we here? And what happens, one more point here, which is given commentary by Adiguru Shankara in the Papmanam again, the result of karma, is that this is like, it's an endless, the seed is endless. It's kind of like, here's a nice example, that a few years ago, I grew some arugula in the garden. I've also grown some of these, this green, it has an Odia name, but I found out that it's, the English name not coming to my mind now. Some greens here. Now what's going to happen is, nowadays you can buy them. You can buy seeds here. There are places you can buy seeds that are imported legally from India. But you know, we just brought seeds like this and grew them. So illegal contraband. And hopefully, you know, now the government will find out I'm in trouble. So don't tell anybody. Now those just are coming up. And other people say, oh, Odia people, they like those greens. Oh, they're dark red, so they took some in there. So now suddenly it's going to be all over the place here. Now what happens, why I brought this arugula and this up? They come up by themselves in the garden. I don't have to plant. They just take over. So the seed of I do karma, the seed causes, you know, more. I do one action from one result, an action brings maybe 5, 10 seeds come from 10 more things, and it'll keep multiplying, where does it end? So the seed of samsara, it kills the seed, because the seed is it'll continue, never ends. You can't stop it by action, because action is part of the whole, the part of samsara. That's why you do it as a preparation, not as an end in itself, like this, okay? So in this way, so it's the seed of samsara. And what happens, how this whole seed happens, this is just, I'll say in a few words, but this is a bigger topic another time we'll surely study. Next text will surely bring this up. How does it happen, this whole cycle? Avidya kama karma. Avidya, I don't know who it is behind this. Since I don't know who it is behind this, I assume it's something else, right? I saw the rope, and I assumed it's a snake. It wasn't a snake. My mind projector just looked like it, so I assume. So I assume I'm this limited one. Now that I take myself as this limited one, now I'm limited. I want to be unlimited. I want to be fulfilled, to be full. So then that's desire. Kama is, so now there's desire. So because you desire to be full, then karma, I'll do action for it. And then that just keeps rotating. But I do action, it doesn't totally do it, so I do it so that still I feel limited, so I'll do more actions, and then that cycle keeps going. So the whole seed of samsara, the avidya, not knowing the self, and then from that comes desire, and then to be full, karma. So the desire is there, meaning I'm not full. And the way I've been trying to do it hasn't fixed it. Hasn't done it. So here it says, because you're looking the wrong way, look at who's behind it. not, you're always looking at who, you know, at the upadhi, at the reflection of who you are, and you're taking that and trying to fulfill that. But look who's behind, and then you're fine. That's just a role, just a reflection. So there's a nice story that is told about this, about how the samsara happens, is that there was one sadhu. The sadhu renounced everything, lived in a small hut. He just had a loincloth. He had two loincloths. One he would hang to dry, wash by hang to dry, one he wears, and he begged for alms and just do his meditation, that's it, not have anything. Now, what happened after he was there for a while, doing his tapas, then he noticed that the loincloth he would hang to dry would slowly get torn away, eaten away. So he found there's a rat that's coming and eating it away. So it's a problem. You know, what's he going to do? Because he needs the loincloth, and then rats keep coming and getting it. So what to do? So after a while he says, you know, it's a problem. I can't do my meditation because I'm worried about what will happen to my loincloth like this. So then what he did is he went, there were some cats around, he went, caught hold of a cat, brought and kept the cat there. Good, now there's a cat. Cat will take care of the rat, I can do my meditation. Very good. Now what happens after he wants to do his meditation, but what happens is the cat keeps coming and saying, right, meow, meow, in cat language, give me some milk. I'm hungry. So then he said, okay, I have to take care of this. I keep going and asking people for milk. It's too much. Why don't I just have a cow? There's a cow, there'd be milk. Then this one's taken care of. Very good. So now he's happily doing his meditation. But then what happens, who's going to take care of the cow? He is too busy. So he decides, you know what? I need somebody to help take care of these things. I might as well get married. I'll have a wife here. The wife will take care. I'll do my meditation. Now some other sadhu friend of his came after a few years and looking for his hut. He's not seeing anywhere. Finally sees him and he's dressed totally differently and very busy working. What happened to you? Oh, you don't know, these rats are eating my kalpeen and now my loincloth, and what happened? So they say this is the story of samsara. One small thing I want to do and then where does it end? So that's this small story, how the action gets me so caught. Now, of course, we can't run away from duties. We have to. This is to highlight how it just builds up, you know. But the thing is, then you do is karma yoga on the one hand, and you have to do your vichara, not to get too caught up in the, not to be caught up at all the external appearances like this. So this, I think, concludes this text. And thank you all for coming and joining. I learned so much. I thank you for coming because I got to look into this so much, which this is so, you know, very advanced text. It really is. It's and really just to look at the root of things. And it's not that now I study Keno Upanishad, I'm going to put it aside. It's something you have to keep reflecting on. You study. That's why it said one who knows this. So one has to keep reflecting, looking at it, go back to it from time to time, take the points from it, reflect on it, look into it. That's what Vedanta is. Until I haven't really seen, it's not clear to me, I have to keep looking at it. And these are tools for looking at it, okay? So, you know, you go through notes, you read it, you go back to it, you put it aside, other texts for some time, but the main things for me, you have to keep meditating on, thinking about mananam. As much as we did Sharavanam, so much more Mananam, reflection on it needed. So much more Nididhyasanam, seeing it from this angle is needed. Okay. For it to really get Pratishtita, it's said here Pratishtita, for it to really get established. Okay, like this.
Asatoma sadgamaya tamasoma jyotiragamaya
Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So now we'll have a break for some time from our class, so have time to reflect on these things I just looked into. And then in mid-January we'll start another text. We'll take a text called Vakyavritti. Vakyavritti is a very nice text which looks into, just like here, looked into this one point, right? There it's going to discuss about Tattvamasi. Vakya means Mahavakya. Mahavakya is a formula that from the Upanishad that points out the oneness, individual and totality. That what is the totality, what is the individual, what's behind is one and the same. So just to say Tattvamasi, you're that, very good. But those are a few words. But then what does it mean? How do you look into the meaning? Like this. So a whole text is for discussing that, for reach out on this. So that'd be very nice. Very nice one to take up, so that's what we'll be studying next. I'll send the email. I hope you all come. Be glad to have you. It'll be nice to continue this inquiry. Very good. So thank you all very much. Thank see you then soon.
Thank you.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you so much, that was amazing.